Welcome to Signs and Vines, your favorite podcast to sip to.
With Courtney
and Sarah.
So pour yourself a glass
and get out that birth chart.
Let's get spacey.
Welcome to Signs and Vines, everyone. We are here celebrating Leo season today with a Leo who truly needs no introduction. Miguel de with Disgorgeous, with Pinched Chinese, always doing the most, just like Leos do. Thank you so much for being here and joining us.
Yeah, would you have expected any less from Leos? I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
Is there anything else you would like to add to my very brief intro to tell people about yourself?
Sure. I also just opened a wine shop in Massachusetts in Great Barrington called Depar. If you're thirsty on your way to a summer vacation or a ski break, come up. We're happy to serve you. I've been a New Yorker now for 15 years, I guess you could say. So I think that's a firm enough stamp.
We'll accept it.
Yeah. Courtney's a lifer, so she's particular, but
okay, that sounds like a good amount of time.
I think that's enough, right? I mean, I've started to tell people who are on the sidewalk crowding up space, instead of being like, can you move out of the way? I'll just tell them to get out. Don't stop. Move. And that's been my move. And I think that's the first sign where I'm like, oh, I've lost patience with tourists. So I think I'm a New Yorker now.
There you go. That is always the first sign.
That's a good claim, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, hustling. My life is an entire hustle. So that's what it is.
I feel that. I think we both can feel that. That's so I have an Aquarius sun and Sarah's an Aquarius moon, which means we also tend to be into a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely feel that on the hustling side.
I mean, y'all saw my chart. Like,
yeah. We did. And I really want to talk about it. So many thoughts. So tell us, okay, as a Leo in this industry, do you feel that you're helped by that? Do you feel like your personality is the perfect match? Because we kind of feel like Leos are a really good fit for this.
Oh, absolutely. If you're not an actor, you're absolutely in hospitality. And I think it's funny that the industries kind of complement each other that way.
Right.
We're very much, I think, my Leo personality is all about being a people pleaser and being a people mm-hmm. person. And it's like, well, that definitely those kinds of soft skills do really, really well with hospitality, clearly. But especially in wine, where you kind of have to know a little bit of everything. And that thirst for knowledge, that kind of like, I want to know the most, is doing a lot of the legwork for being, you know, a som in this space.
Yeah.
And I think it's also like, it's, you know, we tend to surround ourselves with very like-minded people. It's not hard to find another Leo in the wine space either. Mm-hmm. And since we like to roll deep, I think it's really interesting that, like, you know, the kind of spaces that we build for ourselves as soms tend to show a little bit more clearly on in terms of that. You know, we find Leos in packs all the time, right?
Right, so true.
Like, the fact that we roll deep that way means that, like, we've created our own space, we've created our own kind of like universe to surround ourselves with, because then anything else around that, past that, is wrong.
That sounds very, very Leo. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. We love to world build.
That's, you know what, I like that, world build. That's a good positive way to talk about it.
Yeah, you have to find some sort of positivity here, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, considering the rest of my chart, it's kind of like, all right, Miguel, like, do less.
So you know what? Let's get into the rest of your chart, too. So to our listeners, Miguel has a Leo sun, Gemini moon, and Scorpio ascendant.
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
Well, listen, I have a Gemini rising, and I have a Scorpio Venus. So I can very much relate to like the hated placements, but I think it's just like a clue of where to look at yourself and like what you need to work on.
I mean, okay. So I think the whole Leo thing is informant of like how I like see myself in the world, right? I think that that's clear. Like, I obviously like want my opinion to be heard. I want to have this idea of like, I want to be some sort of, oh, I'm so sorry about that.
it's New York.
I mean, like, you're officially a New Yorker.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got, I'll wear that badge. you know, so I think Scorpio, for example, the fact that I'm a Scorpio rising is like, I think people are intimidated by me the first time that they meet me. Mm. Or I think that they're like, I protrude an aura of like, you shouldn't be talking to him like outright, or like you need to be better friends with him before you can do something like that. Which is so weird because I'm so the opposite of that. Like I'm more Virgo than anything. I'm like my birthday is the 21st, so like I'm a day away from being a Virgo.
That's important to note, actually. Oh, we have a friend of the pod with the same birthday.
Yeah, and so you know, I think my Virgo, and also my Virgo, like leading my Mercury and my Venus, it's like I know that like I communicate empathetically enough. Mm-hmm. That those are desires that I think I want clearly to do. That's why I write so well. Not to pat myself on my own back. I mean, I am a Leo after all, I guess. but it is that, like, you know, I really want my intentions to be super clear. Yeah. And that's a really big difference from everything else that's been like happening, or at least in the wine industry for education's purposes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like that I don't like living in status quos. I always like questioning frames and questioning borders. I don't like living in this idea, like, just because it's the way that it's been lived, it's the only way that you can live it. I just don't subscribe myself to any sort of that kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. But I think the part that like plays the most in terms of like how I think about this thing is this Gemini moon that like I have, you know, like there's a lot of inquisition. There's a lot of like thought seeking, a lot of like really wanting communication to be a clear thing for me. Mm-hmm. And like couched in knowledge and couched in responsibility. So I think that's ultimately where I've seen myself kind of communing with that kind of information from my chart, taking that and like really running with it. I think those are really good ways to live. I think that those are really clear ways of communicating, not just myself, but like the things that I want to communicate out into the world. And so I'm really, really particular with how I speak, with how I write. I'm very choosy when it comes to words, but I also don't mind a little bit of wordplay. Like I do really like challenging notions a lot. But then again, I think that's just part of my personality growing up and surrounding myself with the people that like surrounded me with.
Well, and also you have that Virgo Mercury in the 10th house, and you have your sun in the 10th house too. And the 10th house is all about your public persona, right? It's like what you want to present, how you want people to see you, how it will affect your career.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I think that's a really important thing for me too. Like clearly you don't get into, restaurants for any sort of like public praise, but when it happens, it's like it's really important when you do catch someone's attention. And I really take that as some sort of responsibility to kind of, you know, talk to people about these are things that are broken, these are things that we can fix, these are things that you can help me fix them.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's so important, especially with everything that's been going on in the industry, I want to say as of late, but probably forever, just coming, becoming more, you know, public knowledge as of late. But I think that's more really exposed, important.
I guess you could say, right? Like the actual expose, or like the just like this very sad acknowledgement, of like our own willingness to turn an eye to what's been going on in terms of the exploitation of the people who have been working with us. That's it's sad, but also should galvanize you into hopefully making change in a better way for everyone who's in that industry.
Yeah. And I love that about your Instagram. It's like there's so many people we can follow for pretty bottle shots or whatever, but you always have actually interesting stuff up there that really makes people kind of think and question their assumptions.
Thank you. I mean, I want to use wine as much as possible as a way to kind of you know, to color my lenses. And it's given me a really interesting, unique look at how I think I can use that as a superpower. There's, at the end of the day, I don't make any wine as a person who's in the wine industry. Mm-hmm. Well, not yet, at least. I won't close that door yet. But I mean, at least with as far as I'm concerned, wine is a way for us to communicate with each other, past you know, the audio medium, past all of that stuff, because I think it's a way for us to kind of like more deeply reverberate with all the other energies that were going on, and a time and a place that someone had intent with. There's a little bit of magic and witchcraft in all of this, and I think that that's really, really important for people to remember, is that wine at the end of the day is a product of intent rather than a product that just happens to happen. And I think that that's really clear when we find good wine that resonates with us. You want to tell that story. And as a sommelier, it's my job to tell someone else's story and actually to tell as many stories as I can, as responsibly as I can, so that I'm not miscommunicating or not misquoting anybody. Like, I want to make sure that I'm telling your story just as right as I know as I can. And wine really provides me a way to communicate, not just that, but also to connect with that person who's on the other side of this. At the end of the day, it's all about people, right? The reason why we care about birth charts, et cetera, is so that we want to care about the person on the other side of it. And whether or not, you know, we can find some sort of thing that'll hook us into a common denominatorship, and then let's totally go for that and enjoy as many things as possible with that. There is a little bit of like a hedonistic thing to it too, clearly. It's wine after all, it's alcohol. But you know, just in the same way that like we find like some sort of like compass or like universality with, you know, with things like the zodiac and the tarot, it's like why not use the depth and breadth of what's been given to us culturally, and open up the world and in the conversation and like open up the vocabulary, instead of saying that there's something wrong with doing that. I hate prescriptiveness in that style, and I just don't subscribe to it.
Yeah, I think I love all of that. Me and Sarah are like loving everything. We're dying
over here. Also, very, very Virgo Mercury.
Yeah. Yes, very, very true. But yep. I do love that lens. I think that's a great lens. We talk about like, you know, food and wine and how it can transport you and tell you so much. I think that's so accurate. Not only to talking to you about like, you know, when we talk about pairings, like it talks to you about cuisine and culture and history, but it's also talking about terroir. There's just so much you can get out of it. So I love the idea of using it as a lens to just kind of communicate with each other, because there's so much expression in each wine bottle too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And not just that, right? But like, if we can consider like our own products, like I think about it as the way that artists like make paintings, right? It just so happens that we love to consume our paintings in wine. And you know, there's still intent there. There's still a worldview that we want to encompass when we consume something. But at the end of it, it's like, here's a point of view that you're consuming, and here's a point of view that hopefully you're understanding when you get something out of that. I think that's really, really special. There's not a lot of things that are made by humans for humans that way. Especially one that can nourish you as well.
Very true. Very, very true.
Amazing. Well, so we'll lighten it up a little. This was great. But like, our favorite things to ask people are like, which signs do you find yourself working with the best in the wine world in different settings? Like who would you ideally want to have as your coworker?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, we can start with the Disgorgeous boys, I guess. Like,
I was gonna say, if you don't say Pisces,
and somebody's gonna be crying.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? So like, my mom's a Pisces, and so like, my mom's a Pisces, but I'm Leo, so like, I understand like how we did not get along, my mother and I, up until like we were grown-ups. But it was just us trying to figure out like how to communicate to each other effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very similarly to John McCarroll. And then Kevin's a Scorpio. And I get along famously with Scorpios. I think like a couple of my best friends are Scorpios. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because like we're both very much go with the flow kind of folks. We all kind of already are on the same page before we even have to establish the fact that we're on the same page. So I really dig that kind of energy. My best friends in high school were Capricorns and Tauruses.
I love a Taurus.
Okay.
Yeah, Tauruses and I really mesh well. We're stubborn in our own ways, to say the least.
But you can also count on a Taurus.
That's what I mean. Like, we're both very loyal to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and also you're both very into luxury.
I mean, clearly. Hello. Like, I was, who was I just talking to? I recently moved, and I found a couple of like things stashed away in my move. And I was like, I haven't looked at this pen that I owned that has been handed down to me since like, oh, I don't know, like the early 1900s. And it's a nice pen.
Wow.
But I'm like, oh, but it's pretty, but I don't want to use it. Because very much just like, it's the pen that I put out for like, if guests want to come in and like use a pen. I'm like, do you want to use this pen?
Like your guest towels, you have a guest pen?
I really do though. It's funny how segmented the rest of my life. I have like, you know, I have house clothes because I'm also very Asian. like I don't get in this like, why just wear one set of clothes when you can wear essentially three outfit changes for yourself? But also practically it's cleaner. Anyway.
That's a Leo vibe, first of all.
For sure. And like I it's the same thing with like for work and for any other context outside of work, like if the people at work saw me wearing the stuff that I wore outside of work, they would not recognize me. And part of it's just like I wanna compartmentalize that part of myself so far from what this version of me is, because it's like a very different expression of who I am. Because it's like I don't need to always be on, you know, I don't always have to have a wine key with me. I mean, I do, but I don't always. but it you know, it depends on like the cute bag that I want to wear, or like the cute shoes that I want to wear that I don't want to get messed up. I'm pretty
okay. This is also a little Gemini mood, though. I'm seeing your Gemini showing
the compartmentalizing.
Yeah. That's interesting. I do feel like I know a few Leos who are like this, though, also.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are, I mean, the whole particular vibe is a thing.
It's a thing.
Maybe more for, like, a talk with our therapists or mental health. You know, it's an honest, like, it's not debilitating, but it could be if I let it.
All right, so we always have to take it a little dark, too. Like, who is the most... Like, who's the sign you would least want to work with in a restaurant?
Oh, good question.
And you know, since everybody shits on your other placements, like if everybody hates Geminis and Scorpios, it's fair game right now. Like, you can say anybody. No judgment here. It's a safe space.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I don't know, to be honest. Like, I feel like I get along okay with most folks. Maybe not Aquariuses.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Well, we're your opposite sign.
Well, so
either be the best match or the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've found so far nothing stuck. We're batting zero there.
Oh God! All right, Courtney's gonna take you out.
We're gonna change all of this Aquarius hate into love.
Hey, I didn't say hate. I just haven't found the one that I'm looking for yet. You know. I think it's less hate, more like trepidation.
Okay.
And then, I mean, clearly, like, you know, there are some days when a Pisces vibe gets me and I'm like, not right now, guys, not right now. Can't do it.
Completely. That was my whole last year, actually. Completely.
You know, like, not like this, guys. Like, please. Or it'd be like, all right, 2 minutes later, like, bother me, but like, not in the way that you're barraging me with all this kind of information, please. You ever get that friend who just like texts you like seven times in a row? I mean, I get we're also kind of like generationally, like we were all instant messenger kids. So like,
right. They come through like that. Yeah.
Here's like the 7 quick bursts of information. LOL, enter. Oh my God, enter. You know, yeah. like that. So we text the same way.
Yeah.
But like everything happens, I think, with my Pisces friends, like everything all at once. So, like in the span of like 2 hours, I'll not look at my phone. And then next thing I know, I have like 95 unread messages from these fools. And I'm like, guys, like, what are we doing?
A lot of thoughts and feelings.
Yeah. It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Yep. Relatable. It can be for sure.
Yeah. But I do. I mean, clearly like my mom's a Pisces. I love her to death. And it's the same way. She'll call me out of nowhere and she'll just be like, Miguel, did you hear? I'll be like, whoa, what happened? Who died? And then she'd be like, BTS released a new single today. And I'd be like, Mom.
You were ready for more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's change it up for, I think we have one more. What's the sign that has been ruined for you by dating?
Ooh, okay.
Oh, by dating? I mean, I married a Sagittarius.
Oh, okay. Oh, spicy. So interesting.
Fire on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, my partner's completely upended every expectation of what I thought I would have a kind of relationship with Sagittarius folks are. Yeah, like it's a lot of this like very much not a Sag. His birthday is on the 28th of November. So he's like right at the beginning of it, but at the same time it's like you really don't like you're really like not archetypal of your sign at all. Like none of this very like I don't know. Energetic.
I was saying, he's not an adventure seeker or optimistic, or.
I mean, he's a total homebody. But like when we're traveling, I'll be like, all right, like what do you want to do today? He'll be like, oh, I want to go to a museum. I was like, okay, I thought that we would like go hitchhiking, but it's also kind of like he's very Sag in the fact that like he loves being outdoors.
Okay.
He's a very he comes from like a the white half of him comes from like a very outdoors goes camping white, not like not like farm white, you know what I mean?
Those are fair separations.
We know. So, what you
mean. Here's the best separation I can think of. He's REI versus Bass Pro Shops. Makes sense?
Yeah.
So like he's that kind of Sag, and it's like it's really refreshing because it's like, oh, that means that you're gonna wear the same shoes for like 12 years. and I'm like the complete opposite, where I'm like, all right, cool, new shoes every month. And he's also just very not, you know how Sages are supposed to be like looking about like exciting things for change, always changing. Like that's not always the case.
Yeah.
He's not that at all. He's very much like a, he's very creative. We met in band.
Aww. What instruments were you playing?
So in symphony, I was playing the oboe and he was playing the trombone.
That's true.
And then here, I mean, at the house, he plays the piano.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But that also makes a lot of sense too, as a Leo, that you'd be so attracted to creativity.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, okay, so the things that like got, I mean, past the whole Sag thing, one of my exes was a Taurus, which come on, like, you know, for as many Taurus friends as I did have, I was like, you really, really messed me up here. Although I think at the end of the day, I won here because her husband looks exactly like me. Ha! We're gonna claim that one as a win.
That's also, I think this might be the most Leo thing you've said this whole pod.
No, the most Leo thing I'm gonna say is, do you guys want to take a look at the wine list that I have for my house? That's the
I mean, yes, and
right.
I mean, I will actually email it to you.
prank all of this. You have no idea. I think me and Sarah love a good Leo energy anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
So only Taurus? You didn't really, you know, we're giving you free reign to talk shit and you're not doing it.
I mean, I want to be diplomatic, you know. Okay. Leos have to stay on top at the end of the day.
That's, you know what? You're not lying. That's fair.
There's a reason why, who was it? Fucking Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were both Leos, guys. Like, am I wrong?
You have that in your back pocket.
You have to have your fun, like
a couple of my Leo birthday twins are kind of like pretty big. It's like Bo Burnham. It's like, all right, cool. Like, let's show everybody what depression looks like, but also subvert the form. It's like, ah, I love it. that's such a thing for me. Who else? Like Madonna was born the same week I was.
Madonna's very much a Leo.
You know, but yeah, like there's a way that we want to be like, captivating the people's minds without directly insulting all of them. we're masters. Very of accurate.
That
we're
is fair.
Subtweeting and shade, and like I think that I'll leave it at that. Like if anybody wants any proper beef, my DMs are open.
Ooh, get all the shade.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to throw the tea actually. So
there you go. All right, so tell us, with all that said about how Leos are, what is your Leo wine?
So I ended up going with Turley Vineyards, Lodi, Bechtold Vineyard Sanso. And it's because we go back to this idea of storytelling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bechtold Vineyard has the oldest plantings practically in the entire world of Sanso.
Oh, so wow. Now,
it started off ungrafted. That vineyard was planted in 1886, and it's in Sceaux. And all the other Sceaux vineyards in France, for example, had to get ripped up because of phylloxera. So here you have like a very, I don't know, like a very main character wine doing main character stuff, but not really like main character, I guess like a following yet. And then all of a sudden, in like the 1970s and the 1980s, this like group of like California winemakers were like, what do you guys got? Like, this is pretty interesting. And they were calling it at the time Black Malvasia, because they just didn't know what it was. And then in 2003, everybody realized that it was Sinsault. Which kind of like boosted its cred. And then vineyards like Bonnie Dune and Birichino and Turley started making wines out of this vineyard. And they realized that it was a way to like see California differently. Most of the time people were thinking like, it's big, it's brash, it's, you know, high in alcohol. And then the wines that were being made out of this vineyard, especially from the Turley style, they were the complete opposite, right? They were throwing them back. They were like putting them in Perrones. Even up to now, the label of Turley, it says Sinsault Bechtold Vineyard, and on the identifying feature is that it has a Perrone, a picture of a Perrone on it. For those of you who don't know what a Perrone is, it's essentially a wine bong. you have to like outstretch fully to gain like maximum consumption. But in any case, it started to have this idea that like California could be more than just big wine. You could have finesse here. You could have, basically it was like red wine that was showing off like a white wine. You had people really thinking that like, even though the berries on the vines were huge, that it wasn't, it was going to just be schlock, but it wasn't. It was very good. Very good fruit. Everyone was thinking that it was like, you know, you should be doing stuff like Zinfandel or Mataro like you had been doing from this area, but instead, this is the only like big Sinsault planting in California. It's really meaningful to have something like that there. So this wine particularly is, I think, a really exciting story about like how futures can change, but also how just by being yourself and like by being steadfast and sincere, you could continue to change futures. And at the same time, the Turley bottle itself is also like a hallmark. Like we talk about bottle, we don't often talk about bottle shapes as an identifying marker. It's more like a guide, right? Like if it's going to be a softer style, we'll see it in a Burgundy bottle. If it's going mm-hmm. to maybe like see some time, we'll see it in a Bordeaux bottle. Like if you go look for Turley bottles, if you go image searching for Turley bottles, they're their own shape. They're a little bit wider. They don't quite fit in wine fridges. They're notoriously a little bit bigger. They have a wider lip. They have this like really beautiful weight to them. And so that's also very like big Leo energy. We want you to notice us from super far away. We want you to know that there's like a super easy calling card so that when you're looking for us, you know exactly how to look for us. And like without missing a beat, like you know what you're gonna get inside. So I think that's exactly why this wine is like a perfect Leo wine. You can chill it, you can serve it in any kind of way. You can actually just leave it out at room temp and it's also gonna be good. It's good at a party. You can think with it, you can be meditative with it, but you can also just throw it back, maybe put an ice cube in it at the beach. It fits all the purposes in the same way that I've told you guys that I want to be like as democratic as possible. Like this one over delivers on that in terms of like being a people pleaser.
I love that. Yeah.
Lots I mean, analogies, you know?
Yeah. You made very good descriptions.
Well, so we're like kind of on the same wavelength because I have the same grape as you, but I picked a different place.
Okay.
I was like, a Leo wine has to be warm climate.
Okay.
There's no cool climate Leo wines.
Interesting.
And maybe what?
Maybe Riesling.
Hmm.
Oh.
That's an interesting one, Riesling.
All right. Well, my thought was warm climate. And so I picked a Chilean wine. I went with the Pedro Para Pencapolitano, and it's a red blend with Sinsal and Pice. And I picked it because it's bold, but not like too overwhelming, and kind of like smoky. And I just think of Leo's as being red. I don't know why. That's just the vibe.
Okay. I can see that. Something bold. I can see that.
Yeah, bold, but not like aggressive.
Yeah, like we know where we stand.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
What about you, Court? What did you choose?
I went very different from both of you. So
I actually went a rosé.
Mm.
I feel like, you know, although again, I am a pro rosé any day, it's very much a summer drink. I also went with a Black-owned brand since August is Black-owned Business Month. And also part of Leo season. So I've got a little Love Drunk here. And I think Love Drunk is kind of a perfect way to describe Leo's. Like,
yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, I think that's a movie quote, isn't it? Like, we love love.
Yeah.
We're absolutely, we love love. We're that kind of group.
You totally are. And like, I mean, like, fire signs love love, but I feel like Leo's love it in a very like intoxicating type of way. Right? Like, it's not like, oh, I just need this high. It's more about like the intoxication of it. It's the whole thing, the feeling, the look, everything.
Yeah.
And I also like on the bottle that it says when reality is better than your dreams.
That's a Leo energy.
And it is such Leo energy, right? Like that is the ultimate Leo manifestation.
Yeah, 100%. That's us.
Right? So that's what I'm kind of going for. But I like that so none of us really went white. So that's interesting.
I mean, we're not that unless you were like something richer or maybe something with a little bit of like residual sugar. Again, people pleasing or like appropriate in all circumstances. I think like champagne could be a good one. But not anything, not much else. We're definitely not Chardonnay folks.
You're not Chardonnay. Oh my god, you're so funny. I was thinking that when I was looking for a wine, it's like it can't be Chardonnay. And it could never be a Pinot Grigio.
No.
Oh, come on.
You're upsetting him.
Don't even get me started. What do you
gonna hang up on us?
Who do you think I am?
That's great. I love this. Awesome. I think that's all we have. Is there anything else you would like to share with the Signs and Vines listeners?
There are a couple things, actually. First, I'm a loud and proud member of the Hugh Society, which centers the Black Indigenous person of color wine experience in terms of professional settings and education. And we're hosting the first time that all of the national chapters get to hang out and see each other in Atlanta later this month. It starts off with a Black experience called The Cookout. And, you know, we're still looking to see if there's any people who are in the Atlanta area, or you don't even have to be in the Atlanta area to like help out and donate if you wanted to send someone to that. So you can go to wineandculturefest.com. That's a really great like catch-all site to get you started with that. It centers the Black wine experience and those that have been historically excluded. It's both a showcase and celebration of Black brands, winemakers, industry professionals, and consumers. And we want to have as many people there as much as possible. So, you know, and if you can't make it, you can send someone there by buying someone else a ticket. So that's an easy way for you to support the group.
Amazing.
Yeah. And secondly, is that, you know, there's also a queer owned space, here in New York City, called Auxilio, AUXILIO, that needs all the support that it can get. It centers on food justice and food safety for queer bodies, especially marginalized bodies. And if you can help, again, any dollar amount goes a long way. But right now they need something like $1,500 to hit their goal. That's nothing. So I'm putting the word out there. If you're someone who cares about the future of the people who are in this space, that love wine, that love to talk about wine, that love to be in wine, but have historically never been included in the conversation, now's the time to put your money where your mouth is. So that's what I've got.
I love that.
We'll link those in the show notes for everybody who's interested.
Yes, and I think for Hugh Society, I think you guys have an awards coming up too, right?
Yeah, that Wine and Culture Fest is exactly that award show. It's going to be a really great weekend. In Atlanta. I cannot wait to like give proper vaccinated hugs to all the people that you know helped me through all of last year. Also like to look at and consider the future of what wine professionalism can look like when we build our own safe spaces. That's really it.
I love that. All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us. This was a really fun one.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank
you. We gotta go hang out and like break this Aquarius curse.
We're gonna do it. You're gonna be like, wow, why have I not been hanging out with Aquarius this whole time? This is gonna happen. He's my favorite Aquarius.
Right one, right? I have to find the right one.
The right one. The right one is here.
Love, baby. Let's go.
All right, well, maybe we'll see you in Atlanta.
Yeah. All right, that's good.
All right, thanks so much, Miguel.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. Please, 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 if you have not already, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are listening on Anchor, you can leave us a voice memo.
Or shoot us an email at signsandvines@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on Instagram at signsandvines.
Or me personally at Supernatural Sarah.
And I'm at Corkscrews and Caramel.
Don't be shy, slide in the DMs, give us any feedback, suggestions, requests.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.